So let's talk about metastatic disease and particularly later line therapy. And I want to hear about some of the genomic work that you've been involved with and that's being done, and of course about PARP inhibitors. But before we get into that, I'm just kind of curious in terms of some of the palliative care issues that come up in pancreatic cancer. And, you know, whether there are any, you know, I'm not going to say mistakes, but when you see people coming in for second opinions, maybe things that you see that could be done better in terms of palliation of pancreatic cancer.
So I think it is a very tricky disease. I'm actually really happy you brought this up because I'm not sure we give this enough thought and we're not thoughtful enough about this. And we definitely don't discuss it enough in academic medical meetings. So thank you for bringing this up. It's really important as well. Because of the location of the tumor in the upper abdomen and because of the proximity to the stomach and to the duodenum, there are definitely a lot of complications that develop with our patients. If it's obstructive jaundice, if it's recurrent cholangitis, if it's gastro outlet obstruction, in patients with ascites and with peritoneal spread, it could be small bowel obstruction, sometimes a very, very severe constipation, sometimes very severe diarrhea. So I think that really managing patients with pancreatic cancer is very, very challenging. And we really have to be very aware of these scenarios that can develop very quickly in our patients. So we have some patients, for example, that seem to have recurrent cholangitis. They seem to have like this predominance to have a recurrent cholangitis, even when you change their stent several times. And we know that when you put in a plastic stent, you have to change it every several months. And if you put in a metal stent, then you don't have to change it. So one has to be aware of those things and to remember to send our patients because they won't know that they have to change a plastic stent. And we also have to check their blood tests and we have to see if there's any evidence of infection or, once again, elevation of bilirubins or hepatic enzymes that can foretell that they may be developing an obstructive jaundice or infection. Because when we are more aware of these things and we intervene quicker, then the elevation of the symptoms is a much quicker process for the patients. So that I've learned through my clinical practice, and it's not that I always do it, but I do try to be more aware of trying to see ahead of time when these signs are coming and intervene sooner than later, because then we can get back to the treatment regimen quicker and the patient's well-being is preserved by this approach better. So that's one thing. And then another thing that I see, and this is patients with advanced disease as well, but also patients with locally advanced disease, is the gastric outlet obstruction and the pressing on the duodenum. So we have to really also upfront in our multidisciplinary tumor boards or in, you know, the tumor boards that we're having when patients are on treatment, really to see the patients who are going maybe into obstruction. And sometimes it's not evident by imaging. Sometimes it's just by taking, you know, asking our patients, you know, how are you feeling? You know, tell me how you're eating. What is your diet like? You know, why are you losing weight? Is it the nausea from the chemotherapy or are you having projected vomiting? So we have to be aware of that as well. That's another one. And then I think that a big problem in patients with very advanced disease is the ascites and the morbidity that comes with the ascites and then the edema. So that's another thing that we have to just be aware of and try and see that we're giving the best palliative care that we can give. There's not much we can do to prevent that scenario. It's more just to be aware of it and just to make sure that we're giving the patient as much comfort as we can. And then the last thing is also to remember to check for candida infection, which is also quite prevalent in our patient population and also causes a loss of appetite and an unusual and funny taste in the mouth. And we can also prevent, and then DVT, of course, deep vein thrombosis, which quite a lot of our patients suffer from as well, that we can't prevent. I mean, there are questions about using prophylactic anticoagulation, but it's still not an accepted practice in most places. But just making sure that we check our patients and, you know, if we do see a DVT, then we can put them onto our anticoagulation as soon as possible.